It's 8 o'clock on Monday, the 2nd of May. The headlines. An Australian contractor has been kidnapped in Iraq. The Prime Minister John Howard says he won't give in to extremists. Tony Blair is targeting marginal seats. The Liberal Democrats are focusing on whether he can be trusted. The Conservatives are setting out the priorities of a Tory government. A head teacher's leader wants schools to be given complete control of their budgets. And a rocket, first launched nearly 50 years ago, has lifted off this morning for the final time. Today's newsreader is Harriet Cass.
A group of insurgents in Iraq has released video footage of a kidnapped Australian man pleading for his life. Douglas Wood is 63 and was working in Iraq as a contractor. In the video, Mr. Wood, looking dishevelled and frightened, calls on Australia, Britain and the United States to withdraw from Iraq.
President Bush, Prime Minister Howard, Governor Schwarzenegger, family, friends, please help take the American troops, the Australian troops, the British troops out of here and let Iraq look after itself.
The Australian Prime Minister John Howard says a team is being sent to Iraq to try to secure Mr. Wood's release, but he insists that insurgents will not alter his foreign policy.
We'll continue to do all we can consistent with our position on not giving in to hostage takers, and we can't alter that position and we won't alter that position. We can't have the foreign policy of this country dictated by terrorists, but we've got to do everything we can nonetheless to assist this poor man. It's a reminder of the brutality and the ruthlessness of the group we're dealing with.
British police in Iraq are following up yesterday's discovery of items belonging to the British aid worker Margaret Husson, who was kidnapped and believed murdered last year. Three suspects have been arrested. In northern Iraq, at least 25 people are now known to have been killed in a car bomb explosion near Mosul. The victims were mourners at the funeral of a murdered official from the Kurdish Democratic Party. Our correspondent Jim Muir reports from Baghdad.
The breakthrough in the Margaret Hassan case happened by chance when American and Iraqi forces were combing an area south of Baghdad for insurgents. The items discovered are believed to include clothing, a handbag, and documents belonging to Mrs. Hassan. Now British investigators are working with the Iraqi police as the investigation proceeds. Among the suspected insurgents detained in the area, British embassy officials say three are being held in connection with the Margaret Hassan case. The area where the discoveries were made was a hotbed of insurgent activity until a big security operation was launched there 2 weeks ago. But elsewhere, the insurgency has intensified sharply since the announcement of a new Iraqi government last Thursday. Around 25 mourners were killed when a bomb exploded at the funeral of a Kurdish official in the far northwest of the country. There have been numerous car bomb attacks and other incidents in Baghdad. In the past 4 days alone, well over 100 people have been killed, including 11 American soldiers.
With just 3 days of campaigning left before polling day, Labour is sending Tony Blair and Gordon Brown to some of its most marginal seats. The Prime Minister and the Chancellor will try to steer attention away from Iraq and warn disillusioned Labour supporters against letting the Conservatives in by the back door. But the war will remain a key topic for the Liberal Democrats as they focus on restoring trust in public life. For the Tories, Michael Howard will explain his priorities for the first days of a Conservative administration. Here's our political correspondent, Mark Mardell.
Tony Blair and Gordon Brown are together again, at least for the next 2 days, beginning with a tour of marginal seats in London and the South East. Their official campaign line is on prosperity and the economy, but they'll also be claiming that if 1 in 10 people who supported them last time switches to the Liberal Democrats or stays at home, then Michael Howard will become Prime Minister on Thursday. The Lib Dems' theme is trust, and they say if Labour intends to make bogus claims like that, then they'll be trusted even less, because nobody really thinks that Michael Howard is going to win. The Conservatives protest that they do, they believe they can win, and just to prove they're confident and positive, Mr. Howard will be setting out his 8 priorities for government this morning.
The General Secretary of the National Association of Head Teachers, David Hart, has said the government should consider giving schools complete control of their budgets. Mr. Hart, who's leaving the association after leading it for 27 years, will give his last speech today to the association's annual conference in Telford. Mr. Hart told us that schools should decide what services they needed and would like to provide.
We need to look at other radical solutions, and one of the solutions I'd like to see, at least touted, is that the schools should get the entire budget, and they should then decide what services they want from the local authority, because there's too much top slicing, there's too much money sticking to the sides at the moment, not getting into the schools.
The five-yearly review begins today of a treaty designed to stop the spread of nuclear weapons. Representatives from nearly 190 countries are meeting in New York to consider the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. Under it, countries without nuclear weapons pledge not to acquire them, while declared nuclear states say they'll eventually disarm. But as Susanna Price reports from New York, there are conflicting views on the focus of the four-week conference.
The United States and some of its allies are most concerned about stopping the spread or proliferation of weapons. Washington is particularly worried about North Korea, which withdrew from the treaty and then announced it had nuclear weapons, and about Iran, which it believes is planning to build them. Iran denies this. Analysts say the treaty allows signatories to acquire valuable nuclear technology and then withdraw without penalty. Many non-nuclear states want to concentrate on the five original nuclear weapon countries, the US, UK, France, China and Russia, saying that they have failed to carry out their disarmament commitments. The UN's Under-Secretary General for Disarmament, Nobuyasu Abe, said there was a long-standing difference in emphasis between those with nuclear weapons and those without, but he hoped the conference would address both and come up with some firm commitments.
Oxfam has warned that the humanitarian crisis in Darfur in Sudan is likely to continue for another 18 months. The charity says the international response still falls far short of what's needed. It also says that because more than 2 million people live in refugee camps, they could miss the planting season, and the next harvest won't be until October 2006. The Israeli Diaspora Affairs Minister, Natan Sharansky, has resigned. He's a strong opponent of the Prime Minister Ariel Sharon's policy of pulling out of the Gaza Strip and parts of the West Bank. The family of a British documentary maker shot dead in the Gaza Strip exactly 2 years ago are starting civil legal action against the Israeli government. They're convinced an Israeli army officer killed James Miller, but the Israeli Defense Force says it's not legally possible to link his death to a shot fired by the soldier. The officer did face a disciplinary hearing, but was cleared of misusing his firearm. James Miller's sister Katie Miller told Today the IDF was guilty of a cover-up.
We've read their report into the investigation of the killing of James. The case itself is obviously quite complicated. It's also in Hebrew. But the basic tenets of our argument are that they know, we know, who fired that fatal shot. They deliberated for 13 seconds before taking that shot. He has been cleared of even disciplinary charges and continues to command a unit. And that is not justice, in our view.
A German newspaper claims to have tracked down a survivor of Hitler's bunker in Berlin, who until now has never spoken about her experiences. Anna Flegel, who's 93, tells the paper how she stayed in the bunker until several days after it was occupied by Soviet troops. From Berlin, Ray Furlong.
There are several accounts of the last days in Hitler's bunker. Now, a previously lost eyewitness has apparently resurfaced. For 60 years, Erna Flegel did not even speak to her family about her experiences as a nurse serving in the bunker. Her story does not challenge what's already known, but does add some new details to the picture of Hitler's last days. He was, she says, so paranoid that he even suspected spies had filled his cyanide capsule with false poison, presumably the reason he shot himself. She also recalls trying to save the lives of the six children of Joseph Goebbels, Hitler's propaganda chief, but says his wife, who poisoned them, was merciless. Mrs. Flegel adds that when the Soviet troops arrived, they were well behaved and advised her to lock her door.
A British-designed rocket has been launched successfully this morning, ending one of the world's longest-running space programs. The Skylark made its maiden launch in 1957 from Woomera in Australia. Since then, it's flown from sites all over the world. Today's launch, number 441, was from Sweden. Here's our science correspondent, Sue Nelson.
The Skylark is, or was, a sounding rocket, so called because they contained experiments that sounded or tested the upper atmosphere. But over 50 years, its payloads have also studied land use, microgravity, and the sun, taking the first X-ray images of our nearest star. This morning, Skylark was on a short ballistic flight into space, with five instruments on board performing microgravity experiments. Despite being cancelled in the 1970s, the programme has continued commercially without government funding. And for the last 6 years, a Bristol-based company, Sounding Rocket Services, has coordinated the launches and flown the flag for Britain, ending a homegrown era of space history.